I'll get 20 messages, in a day. And they range from really, really graphic rape threats to really graphic death threats to threats of both of them at once.
That is the voice of Melissa Anelli. She's been the victim of cyberstalking for more than 5 years. The perpetrator is thousands of miles away from her in New Zealand. There's even an FBI warrant for her arrest if she were to come to this country. But for Anelli, the barrage of emails and messages are an imminent mental threat. Anelli runs a popular website for Harry Potter fans called The Leaky Cauldron, which is how she became a target. This past week, she broke her silence about the woman who's been stalking her since 2008. Anelli wrote on her blog that it's time to show the effect it has had on her life. Melissa Anelli is our Sunday conversation.
I had heard from moderators of our forum that she was harassing one of our volunteer staff, and I wasn't 100% sure why at the time, but the words I had heard were, "I'll only stop if Melissa asks me to." And so I wrote her an email with all of my staff CC'd, asking her to please listen to my staff, and she told me she would immediately, and the next morning I woke up to a death threat.
Clearly, when you get a death threat, you call in the authorities. It's a clear case of stalking at that point, right?
Yeah. We went to the police, and the police said, "Well, I'm sure we can get you a restraining order, but it's a piece of paper that's only useful if she's in New York, where I live." And so they said, "This is not going to end this." And so then we started trying every agency we could go to because they weren't stopping. They started coming in frequently. Every time I would turn around on Twitter, there was a new account adding me. It became very quickly that I had to shut down any method of anyone contacting me if I didn't know you already. And finally, somebody said, "Why don't you try the FBI?" And I wasn't aware that the FBI would be the most useful place, but immediately somebody got back to us. The agent was a massive Harry Potter fan, which helped, I think. And she was the first one to say to us, "No, you absolutely shouldn't be going through this, and we can help."
And so I understand in 2011 there was some kind of breakthrough in the case, right? Can you explain what happened?
In December 2011, we received a message from the FBI saying that she was arrested for criminal harassment in New Zealand. It was a big deal because they warned me that not only are stalking cases notoriously hard, because until the person actually harms you, it's hard to get it prioritized, but international stalking cases where old school thinking deems that if they're not in your physical proximity and they can't harm you with a knife, or something like that, then it's less important. And that I couldn't be further from the truth because the mental toll is exorbitant. And she was arrested and put on bail and was given a diversion program, they call it down there. And there were terms to this diversion program where she would not contact me, and she had to stay away from the internet for a while. And that was through March of 12. And the day, I believe, that it expired, I got my first, comment from her again. And it only exacerbated the situation. And so we were fairly sure that, well, okay, they've arrested her. She's doing it again. Maybe they'll go and get her again. And it's been now 2.5 years since that, and it hasn't happened again. So
That had to have been disappointing at that point.
very, because the relief that we felt the night that she was arrested was palpable, because not only was there a chance this would all finally stop, I mean, but maybe she would also get the help she needs. She has tattoos that supposedly represent me. She sent my nephew, when he was just born, a package and a note that said, "Enjoy your family while you can." She found my cell phone number. She found my mother's number. She sends me satellite photos of my house. It's really beyond the extreme with her, and we thought that maybe there was relief coming. And so when 2 months were quiet, we had careful hope, and then she only got more vociferous when she came back.
So I'm wondering how you cope.
I do take solace that she's a long way away. I agree when people remind me that at least she's not going to actually knock on my door, but that doesn't stop you from fearing what's behind the door every time somebody unexpected is there. I've woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning scared that I had forgotten to lock my door. I've sought therapy and it has helped. I've tried to just lock down all my privacy channels. And even the FBI have told me we are astonished at how long this woman is hanging on. Usually people, you know, they give up. And so sitting and being quiet sometimes leaves you with pretty bad moments. There are times when I'll see, you know, other cases having progress and I'm still sitting there waiting for this one to go forward, or I'll just get frustrated, or I'll get angry about unrelated things that I realize were related to this situation. And it's incredibly frustrating. The mental toll that cyberstalking takes on people can't be overstated, because you're not allowed to engage. So you're not allowed to be part of the solution. Whereas with a lot of other crimes, as hard as it is to come forward for some other crimes, when you do, it's not making the crime worse. The crime happened already. This actually does potentially makes the crime worse. And I'm taking a big chance even doing it, but it just finally felt like enough was enough.
Did you ever consider shutting down your website altogether? Just saying, I'm done with this whole thing?
No. As much as she's affected me and harmed my ability to trust, I won't let her win that way. I won't let her make it bad for other people in that way. The website has done way more good than any bad she could conjure. And so while I've had the moment of thinking, man, it would be easier if there was nothing, it would feel like a defeat. So I've never considered it.
Melissa Anelli, author and webmaster for The Leaky Cauldron. Thanks so much for talking with us, Melissa, and sharing your story. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to NPR News.